In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
This second Sunday before our Lord's Nativity, we are treated to the parable of the Great Supper, the Divine Supper. We're in the middle of a season in which we remember and we celebrate that in the person of Jesus Christ, God has come among us. And this parable is, in many ways, a self-examination. It really asks the question, how aware are you that God is with you? And not just aware as a mental exercise, but how deeply are you aware of the presence of God in your daily life, in your ordinary comings and goings? Where is the God of your heart in these day-to-day moments? That's the question this parable asks us. And we start with a man giving this great supper. Shared meals in the human experience represent closeness and unity and shared life, at least for the duration of the meal, if not more so. I mean, have you ever noticed how hard it is to eat with someone you're mad at? Right? It's physically hard to chew and swallow while sitting at a table with someone you can't stand. We have a physical reaction. But the opposite is also true. When we are with the gems of our heart, we are almost driven to share food and beverage together. I mean, the first thing we think about when we're planning a get-together with someone we love is, what are we going to eat? What are we going to serve? What are we going to drink together? Shared meals are a deep human unifier. So when the parable has God inviting us to this divine meal, it is a call to oneness, a call to unity, to God wanting to be one with you, an invitation quite literally into the divine presence. So today I'd like to look at how God invites you into the divine presence today, and do so in light of the excuses made in the first round of invitations in this parable. God says, come to my supper, dine with me. In other words, I want to be with you. That's what this invitation means. And the first person says, you know what? I have this new property and all this land and a new house. We've got gutters to install, windows to repair, animals to feed, gardens to plant, and loads of boxes to unpack. And so we cannot accept. We can't get together just now. Next person says, I just picked up a new team of oxen. If you want to modernize it, I just got new tools or new machinery. I just got a new job or I'm taking this new class. I have this big order to fulfill. I have clients and customers or students or buyers waiting for me. So I can't accept the invitation to get together. The last one says, are you kidding? I'm about to get married. We've got the wedding. We've got a glitch with the caterer. We've got guests to accommodate. And then we'll have the honeymoon and then all those thank you notes to write. We're just not going to be able to accept a get together for a while. And I don't think it would be a stretch to apply this parable to the Advent and Christmas season. I would love for this holiday to be about God with us and nothing else. But I got a house to decorate. I've got gifts to buy and wrap. I've got Christmas programs and concerts to attend. And plus, the big family get-together. God with us may have to wait until next year. The interesting thing about all these excuses, none of them are bad activities in themselves. Nobody's saying, I'm sorry, I've got to go rob a bank, right? What they're doing is wholesome stuff, sacred even. Taking care of property and responsibilities. Working for a living. Love shown to spouse and family. Music and celebration. This is all good stuff in and of itself. The problem is, these folks in our parable have made it an either-or situation. They say, I have to work. I have to attend to my spouse. Therefore, and this is where they get into trouble, therefore I can't accept being with God. They have pushed God out of their daily lives. And they all, with one accord, choose something, whatever it was, something over union with God. Union with God was displaced in their hearts by something that was initially a gift from God, but was distorted into being something separate from God. This binary thinking gets us in trouble. It makes us think that some things are sacred and some things are secular or ordinary. And that pushes God into this little compartment called religion, with church services and prayer time given, you know, this chunk of space, and everything else is ordinary life. But Jesus coming into the world as God with us, as God in the flesh, shows us that this attitude is sorely misguided and sorely empty. God is in everything. God is in your work. God is in your properties. God is in your responsibilities. God is in your marriage and your friendships and your relationships. And so the incarnation of Jesus Christ changes the question of sacred versus secular to, is there somewhere that I failed to let God in? Is there a place in my life that I am resisting somehow holiness? The excuse, I can't come to God's supper because of work or family commitments, is a broken way of seeing life. The redeemed way is to ask myself, can I bring this divine supper, this union with God, into my family and love relationships? Can I bring the divine supper into my work and into my responsibilities? Can I bring the divine supper into even the possessions and property I've been entrusted with? The parable is not saying, how can I squeeze supper with God, and however we might define that, how can I squeeze supper with God into my busy schedule? That's not what this parable means at all. Nor does it mean that we stop working or that we end all relationships. It's not that either. What it's asking us is, can you make every moment of your life part of the divine supper? Whether the beautiful or the challenging or the mundane parts, are you willing to let every corner of your life become a receptacle for holiness, a container for the presence of Jesus Christ? You might say a course in the meal of the divine banquet. What this parable is saying is God doesn't want you part-time. God wants your whole life. You are way too valuable for anything less. And so as we approach the day of our Savior's nativity and we reflect on the busyness of our lives, consider the invitation we are hearing today. God is saying, I want every corner of your life, and I want every corner of it to be part of my divine supper. Your work, your property, your relationships, your every moment. I want it. That is God's invitation. And with that invitation, as we go out today, maybe ask yourself, what corner of my life today could most use a new and renewed healthy dose of divine holiness? Amen.